Well, Mike Train with Crawford Media Group. Today we're joined by Samaritan's Purse's Operation Christmas Child, Vladimir Provnesky. Don't even know if that's remotely close, Vladimir, but thanks for joining us.
Oh, you said it perfectly. You said it better than I can.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time. And Operation Christmas Child's really close to our heart. Vladimir, we have churches across the metro area in Denver. We reach a wide area. That's Commerce City, Brighton, Denver, Boulder, Littleton, Niwot, just about 300 miles outside of Denver, if you can imagine. And we have churches participating and still plenty of people that don't know what Operation Christmas Child is all about. So tell us about your story. There were conditions you were growing in that weren't ideal, your childhood. So you have a story. Let's start with that.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I come from a family of 9 children. My father was an underground pastor in Kiev, Ukraine, during the time when it wasn't popular or allowed being a Christian. And because my father was a believer living in a communist country, he was hindered from advancing that society. So my father had to settle for low-paying jobs because he couldn't just start a business in a communist country where everything was owned by the state. There was no private sector. And so he was hindered by the society, and he had to settle for low-paying jobs. And then every time he was captured and written up for his faith, it greatly affected his faith even more. So it got to the point to where we had to take turns to go outside to play because we didn't have enough shoes for everybody in the family. We also had to share our toothbrushes, and we didn't have access to a lot of toys, especially new toys. But it didn't stop us from making our own toys. We made yo-yos out of Coca-Cola caps. We played with our shoes, pretending they were cars. And as for food, we pretty much grew up on rice and potatoes, which I often jokingly say that we were vegetarians before it was even cool upon us.
Right.
And we grew up in this tiny 3-bedroom apartment with barely any heating or cooling. In the middle of the winter, the walls would just freeze over with a sheet of ice, and then the ice would melt and the wallpaper would just fall on us. And we didn't have a washer and a dryer, so mom, she had to do all the laundry by hand. And because of the amount of laundry she did, her hands would often crack and bleed, and she would stay up all night, and she would make socks and underwear for us out of just old clothes or donated material. So as you can imagine, we grew up very poor on the inside and heavily persecuted on the outside. But it was during this time that we were invited to come to a Christmas celebration where I received my shoebox.
So you got a shoebox. We seldom, if ever, get to talk to somebody that actually received one. In terms of the items that were in there, what was the most memorable for you?
Oh, there was lots of things. You know, growing up in the Eastern Bloc, there was not much color. Everything was like black and white, gray. And I never had anything new, so just opening the shoebox, and there were so many things of different color, and just the sounds of wrapping paper. I never had anything new in my life. And the smells, the colors, all of that, just that alone was just a lot to take in. Even the box itself, it was just so colorful, had so much personality to it. But so I got some school supplies, which was really cool. I had my own yo-yo, so I didn't have to make a yo-yo to cook a full caps anymore. I had my own yo-yo, it was thick and bulky. I had my own toothbrush, which was like a rock star toothbrush because it was so colorful, so pretty. Just the way it was designed, it was just beautiful. I had my own Hot Wheel cars, and you have to play with my shoes, pretend they were cars. I had this white bar of soap, like the whitest white I've ever seen, so squeaky clean, so slick, so smooth. It had a print of the dove on top. So it was like a Holy Spirit in a box. The whole box,
that's
no lining.
Cool.
It sanctified the whole box for me. But the most memorable out of the shoebox for me, and for a lot of people, it's different things. For example, my sister Nadia, she had a Barbie in her shoebox. In our neighborhood, there was only one girl who had a Barbie in the neighborhood, and she was not allowed to take this Barbie outside.
Wow.
Her mom was
great.
Afraid that it would get stolen, broken, or lost.
Right.
So this girl would get on the balcony, and she would show this Barbie to all the little girls in the neighborhood, and they would all gather together. It was like like the Pope coming out on outside. They would just look up, but they couldn't even hold this Barbie. But when my sister got her Barbie through her shoebox, she arranged sleepovers for all the little girls in the neighborhood to take this Barbie home at least once. And so, but when I received my shoebox, most memorable for me, it wasn't as big as a Barbie. It was just simple dental floss. And the reason why it was so memorable for me, dental floss itself, because I did not know what it was. I licked it thinking it was candy. And I remember thinking, you guys have some crazy candy in America. Like, what kind of candy is this? But I remember it was minty. It had a lot of mint flavor to it. And so I tried to get a lot of it together in a ball like a mint and popped it in my mouth. My mouth was just so numb from all that mint. And there was a gentleman in the room, and he was looking at me doing all this, and he probably felt sorry for me because he knew what it was.
Yeah.
And he came over, and he tried to explain to me in his broken Russian that this is not what you think it is. And he kind of, but basically what I got out of it is that, like, it's a toothbrush substitute. And I remember thinking, like, how are you supposed to brush your teeth with this fancy string? Like, okay, maybe the front, but how are you supposed to get the back? And it wasn't years later when we finally moved to the United States when I learned what it was really for. And let's just say I felt pretty silly. But that was my most memorable item to this day. I'm Vladimir the dental floss boy.
Crazy.
It was so unique and interesting to me.
It's crazy. And you just remember all of these, you know, for the person putting the shoebox together, big message here is you remembered all these little gifts. There are things that you're just vividly recalling in your shoebox.
Yes, and for somebody who lives in such a colorless part of the world, all of those little details, they're not just little details, they're huge. And for somebody to think, you know, what's a toothbrush? It's not that important. It's not that, it's unless you've never had it, you know, you don't have your own toothbrush. And I remember how excited I was getting my own toothbrush. I didn't have to share one with anybody because before we would brush our teeth and I'd give my toothbrush to my mom and she would wash with hot water and soap and then she would give it to somebody else. But now I had my own toothbrush and it was wrapped in wrapping paper and just the way it was designed. I just remember thinking, this is, so because in my culture back then, especially, nobody stood out in the communist countries. Everyone kind of on the same level. Everybody wears the same thing. Yes. Nobody tries to stand out. And so this toothbrush was just it was like a personality kind of thing. It was just totally, it was like artwork. Nobody had a toothbrush like mine. It was so special and unique to me. And all the little things in the shoebox, they all had the little touch of personality. But most importantly, it's not even so much about the physical things, because over the years, you do forget little details about the shoebox. But you never forget how it makes you feel, because, you know, I always say that God is love. When you show love to people, you show God to people. When people experience love, they experience God. And once you experience that God's unconditional love, you will not walk away unchanged. And because I couldn't understand, like, why would somebody do something so nice with no strings attached unconditionally in a culture where everything has strings attached, everything is conditional. And yet they probably never meet me ever, and yet they took their time, which is most precious asset. You can always get more money, but you can get more time. They took their money, the resources, and they packed this beautiful shoebox filled with so much good things in it. And yet they did it with no strings attached unconditionally. To me, that was just, it was hard to process that kind of love, that kind of unconditional love. Why would you do something so nice for a complete stranger? To this day, it changed my life. It made me more generous. Mm.
We're speaking with Vladimir Prokhnevsky, hopefully I got that close, with Operation Christmas Child. And Vladimir is so unique because he works for Operation Christmas Child, yet he also received a box. And Vladimir, when you came to the U.S., you reconnected with OCC. What did that look like?
You know, it was an accident, but really it was not an accident. I remember coming to the United States and just passing during a collection week. I've seen logo of Operation Christmas Child just next to churches during the collection week. I didn't understand how there was collection week going on. I just thought maybe they were giving away shoeboxes to kids. I thought, you know, when you turn a certain age, you get a shoebox in the Bible, kind of like the Boy Scouts of America, you get an Eagle Scout at some point. And so I thought that's what was happening at that time. But it wasn't until I applied to work for Billy Graham Evangelistic Association as a web designer and developer several years back. And I just happened to mention that I received a shoebox because somehow I knew that it was connected to Billy Graham. Now I know that Samaritan's to the sister organization mm-hmm. of Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. And so, but I happened to mention and they're like, oh, you received a shoebox. I'm like, yeah, everybody gets a shoebox, right? They're like, no, not everyone gets a shoebox. And so it was during that time that they connected me with Samaritan's First. And I learned more about the organization, how these beautiful shoeboxes, it's not just a gift, it's a gospel opportunity. With these shoeboxes, when children receive the shoeboxes, they are then invited to come and participate in a 12-lesson discipleship program called The Greatest Journey, where children learn more about who Jesus is, how to have a relationship with Jesus, and most importantly, how to share Jesus with others. So it's all about evangelism, discipleship, and multiplication. And this, The Greatest Journey program started in 2009, and since 2009, 30.9 million children participated in this program, and over 21 million children graduated. And my favorite is 15 million children giving their lives to Jesus, all because of a simple shoebox. Mm. That's beautiful. And so once I saw the vision, what these shoeboxes do, it's a physical gift, and then there's also a spiritual gift in eternity, introduction to the best gift giver, to Jesus. And once I saw those two, because children are the future, and once I saw that and it connected my mind, I told them, send me anywhere. I'll share my testimony anywhere. If it means one more shoebox, I'll share it.
Love it. You know, you've been so transparent about what it meant to you and how Christ shone through the items in that shoebox, which, you know, it's good for our listeners to know that, Vladimir. They need to understand that to them it's, you know, toothpaste is no longer allowed. It's just there's some custom stuff with that. But the toothbrush, the dental floss, simple things in that box make such a difference. Now, the child receiving that box, if you could say something to a child receiving a box like you did, what would you say?
It's interesting because I do actually say something with each box that I pack. I put a little note in there, and I usually share my testimony with a picture, my family picture on one side, and on the back I write, hey, little buddy. Usually that's how it starts. Like, my name is Vladimir. I also grew up in a dark part of the world. And just share my testimony briefly. And then at the end I say, you know, life is a marathon. It's like a race, but it's not about how you start your race. It's how you finish your race. And then I share how God delivered us from darkness into light, and I encourage him. I said, so little buddy, you finish strong. I'm praying for you. That's my message to them. It's just a seed of love. When kids feel that kind of unconditional love, it goes deep into their heart, and years later somebody will come around and water that love. If somehow they fall through the cracks of this program, The Greatest Journey, maybe they don't hear the gospel somehow some way, but I know that once this unconditional love, it will go deep into their heart, and years later somebody will come around and water that love. And I know that they'll produce much fruit years later.
Our listener, the person hearing this interview, what would you tell them about Operation Christmas Child and what they need to do?
We are to spread the gospel to all four corners of the world. This is a great tool for that. But also, I believe that generosity is a muscle. And, you know, what you don't use, you lose. And I think it's a great muscle to exercise. And a great tool, these shoeboxes are to exercise the generosity muscle. That's why, you know, in the first world countries, we're so blessed and fortunate. And I use this tool to go with my kids. For example, we go shopping together for these shoe boxes. And it's a great teaching moment to teach them about how other people live around the world. And once they see and once they participate, something clicks in their mind and they become more generous. And you reap what you sow, right? Generosity.
Yes.
Generous people reap more generosity. And so yes. I want that for my family. It's a great tool to cultivate just that.
Wonderful for families. Amazing what it meant to you to receive this shoebox and all the little items, remembering the dental floss. I think for our listener, that person gets a real feel for what this did for you, what it can do for someone else. Include that note. Be a part of Operation Christmas Child. Where do people go, Vladimir, to get involved?
It's very simple. SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. And you'll be able to see all kinds of testimonies. We have drop-off locations. National Collection Week this year is November 14th through the 21st.
Okay.
So there's plenty of time to pack. You can volunteer if you have time to give. You can have a job for you for whatever talent you have. We have a job for you. So SamaritansPurse.org/OCC is the website.
And Vladimir, as we said, we reach a wide area with this station, including Denver, Boulder, Commerce City, you know, a number of areas here in Colorado, and there are a ton of churches getting involved. Very likely there's one in your near area. So you just, again, SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Vladimir, thanks so much for taking the time with us. We're really grateful for you.
Thank you for your time. God bless you.